Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You, Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, September 13, 2017. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 97, the second paragraph, beginning with, "We seldom allow an alcoholic," reading through five paragraphs, ending in, "That he trusts in God and clean house," commenting on all five paragraphs. Today's readers are Maria A. for the 12 Steps, Carrie S. for the Traditions, Penny L. C., Sherry K. B., and Rocky I. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, Tuesday, September 12th, is 10416. That's 10,416. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting for Wednesday, September 13th, is 10,417. That's 10417. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience and strength and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contribution, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Maria A. to read the 12 steps. Star 1 to unmute, please, Maria.
Step 1, we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, make a list of all persons we had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. 9, make direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for knowledge for His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Maria A. I'm sorry, there's some background noise. Would you please press star 1 to mute your phone if you are not Carrie S.? And I will now ask Carrie S. to read the traditions, the 12 traditions. Thank you.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. This is Carrie S. in Colorado, gratefully recovered. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public medias of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderator is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone except the speaker's phone should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We're on page 97. We'll begin on the second paragraph, which says, "We seldom allow an alcoholic." We will read and comment on 5 paragraphs, ending in, "That he trusts in God and clean house." I will ask Penny L.C. to begin reading.
Thank you. Good morning, Elaine, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. We seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes for a long time. It is not good for him, and it sometimes creates serious complications in a family. Though an alcoholic does not respond, there is no reason why you should neglect his family. You should continue to be friendly to them. The family should be offered your way of life. Should they accept and practice spiritual principles, there is a much better chance that the head of the family will recover. And even though he continues to drink, the family will find life more bearable. For the type of alcoholic who is able and willing to get well, little charity, in the ordinary sense of the word, is needed or wanted. The men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. Yet we do not go to great extremes to provide each other, yet we do go to great extremes to provide each other with these very things when such action is warranted. This may seem inconsistent, but we think it is not. It is a matter of giving that is. It is not a matter the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this and that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house. And some of this writing makes it a little bit challenging to apply it to our program and to present day. What comes through, though, loud and clear in the message is that I cannot do for my sponsee what they need to do for themselves. And I cannot do for my sponsee what God needs to do for them. And all of those defining differences need to be made and cleared. You know, it's my responsibility to make sure that I, as a sponsor, am setting boundaries and holding my sponsee accountable to their part of their recovery program. If I can't make them do it, that's not what I'm saying by any means. But make sure that I'm not enabling them along the way and that they are learning what their part of it is and what they need to do to be able to develop their relationship with their higher power. That's what's pivotal. You know, back when we went to the very beginning steps, the foundation of God can, I think I'll let him. And so it's up to me as a sponsor to keep reiterating, you know, are you letting God? And what would God have you be in this moment? So burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. It does not matter, you know, what the circumstances are. We all have life challenges. And we all have experiences day to day that make it, you know, perhaps difficult. But nonetheless, if we're relying and trusting on our higher power, then we can recover. And it is possible. And we just need to be willing to do the work and persevere, each one of us, sponsor and sponsee together. And together we can recover one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny LC. Who'd like to comment on what Penny read?
Good morning. This is Reggie O.
Hi, Reggie O. Who else would
Wendy
like to comment?
M.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Who else?
KDF,
and was that Paula D?
That would be right, Elaine. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Okay, let's start with Reggie O, Wendy M, KDF, and Paula D. Please go ahead, Reggie.
Thank you. Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service and everybody who's showing up on the phone this morning. For this, you know, that the last paragraph that we read was the first time I read that, or it read it with some consciousness. It just really sent all kind of energy moving through me, you know, the power of that, you know, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house, you know, and those are big conditions, because, you know, we all know there's a lot, there are trust in God and clean house. I guess that, you know, that goes up to through step 9 and then, you know, step 10, 11 on a daily basis. But I remember the first time I heard, I think it was someone who originally was AA and then in another program, you know. So what we do here is trust God, clean house, and help others. And so that's, you know, the helping others is what we're doing. And then, so that, you know, burn that idea into the consciousness of every man, you know, that they can recover. You can recover. It is absolutely possible and probable that you will recover if you do that, you know, if you do these things. And so, and then it's not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give, you know, and that made me think of, you know, I can only give what I have. I can't give what I don't have. So what I do have is the experience of working through these steps, the experience of having the obsession lifted, the experience of, you know, daily growing in my trust and reliance on God, and the belief and strength and, you know, ongoing growth of these, of working the steps this way and this program. That's what I have. So I have the big book, I have the steps, and I have my experience and my, you know, it's often been said, strength and hope that I can share. So that's what I can share, you know. And you know, I also have to remember, you know, it says we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence of God, dependence on God. And I was thinking of something else when I read that, but you know, that's again another amazing, amazing, powerful sentence that says, you know, I place my dependence on God rather than other people. And what I help people do when I'm taking them through the program is keep turning them to placing their, you know, their dependence upon God, not me, not anyone else, but definitely God. You know, I'm there to do my part. We're here, all here to do our parts, but that is a big piece of the work that we're doing with people. It's helping them place their dependence on God. And that certainly means cleaning house. You know, there's a lot of rewiring and reorganization and cleaning and things that, you know, happen as we go through these steps that allow us to develop that relationship with a God, you know, that we can trust in. So it's just a
gentle reminder.
Thank you for that gentle reminder, and I'll stop for that.
Well, thank you very much, Reggie O. Wendy M., please go ahead, followed by Katie F.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Colorado, grateful to God for the abstinence I have this morning and grateful to all of you being on the line. So, you know, when I first read this, I'm like, what are they talking about? And what occurs to me is that I've spent my life depending on you. Whoever you are, it doesn't matter. I realized recently I've been addicted to people, not just to food, but to people, because it's your job to fix me. That's what I thought. And it was interesting because my first year in with Vision, whenever I was at a meeting, I'd be complimenting my sponsor. And after the meeting, she would say, you know what, you need to stop complimenting me because it's actually not about me. It's about me getting you to your higher power. And at first I was so confused about that. I didn't understand. I thought complimenting people was a good thing. But I totally get what she's saying. She is just a vessel. She is just a tool for me to get to my higher power. And it's, you know, this has been a big revolutionary change in my consciousness, you know, because, again, I came from, you can fix me, you should fix me, can you fix me? And, you know, just years of putting people on pedestals, literally like, will you be my mommy? You know, just like those little books for kids, like maybe you'll be my mommy. And always relying on other people rather than on God. And really having very high expectations of people my whole life. And just this last 4-step that I did, seeing that, high expectations, high dependence, and my needs will get met only through my interaction with other people. You know, and then we're on page 60 to 63. What can I do to get you to take care of me? What can I do to control the situation? Always thinking, how can I control that person so that they can be my mommy? They can take care of me. And it's so brilliantly laid out here you know, that dependence is on God. It's not on other people. And again, that's been a big shift for me and a big place where I've gotten quite a bit of freedom. And then finally, I'll just say, I love the bottom line here. The only condition is that he's trusting God and clean house. That's the entire program right there. Trusting God and clean house. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Heard some of you guys cleaning house earlier today, so please be sure to keep your phone muted if you're not the speaker. Katie F., you are up now, and Paula D. will be right after you.
Good morning. This is Katie F., a recovered compulsive overeater, and I just love this this section of the book because it's so much what happened to me. In my recovery, as I had been in OA for 6 years and thought that that I was, you know, one of those people that was constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves, and just was back out there in the food big time. And then I kept thinking, I'll get a spot.
Katie, we lost you. We can't hear you right now.
Okay, sorry. I got that man telling me things for some reason. So anyway, I lost
you.
My train. But what I'm trying to say is that that it doesn't matter what's going on. It didn't matter what was going on in my life. I had to be willing to work this program, and I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait until the circumstances were convenient. And I got abstinent, you know, when I was working 70 hours a week in a restaurant. And, you know, I left there one day after eating all day constantly and went to a meeting, got abstinent, got a sponsor, and went back the next day and was able to continue working in that restaurant but did not pick up the food. You know, and that experience of being around the food and having, you know, very little money and just so many hard circumstances really got me to where I am today. You know, there's so much of my life that first experience really helped me because, you know, I eventually moved away and had no one around me. I lived alone for the first time in my life. All these scary circumstances that I thought I would never be able to stay abstinent. You know, I live in the middle of a field right now. No one's home. No one would know if I was binging or what I was doing. I could be very deceptive, just be on this phone line and you, you know, just hope I'm telling the truth. But I am telling the truth. I'm getting, preparing all my food to go to this convention because I'm getting there ahead of, you know, when those four meals are served. I eat six times a day. So even with those four meals, there's still three meals that I have to bring myself. And, you know, I can't just rely on other people and think that it's up to someone else to take care of me. You know, God's given me the tools I need through this program, and one day at a time, it works. It really does. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Katie F. Paula P., please go ahead.
Hello, this is Paula D.
Hi, Paula. Please go ahead.
Oh, well, first let me say thank you. I wanted to make sure I was heard. I want that thank you to be heard. I thank you for your service that is being done today. And this would be Paula D., recovered by and with the grace of God. And, you know, as I looked at this, I always looked at this as working with others. I never looked at it in a more deeper way, and that would be myself. And I'm going to just throw a quote in here and by C.S. Lewis. And what he said was, I thought when God came into my heart that he was going to redecorate, you know, put up a few mirrors, paint the walls, and put in some pictures up. But he was breaking down the walls. See, when I look at this, I see more than dependence on God for another. I had to know that I'm not God. My ego had to be broken down to realize when I come into this place of helping another, when and how much to give and why. See, I always left that part out. Why? Why are you giving so much? Is your dependence on God for this person? See, you are to transmit God. You are transmitting God here but you are not responsible for the receiving of. That's what I found out. As I looked here, he clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for, more than that, his emotional needs. I am not there to supply that, but I am to be there to pass on what I have received. And I burn the idea into the consciousness of every man, including myself, that he can get well regardless of anyone. I have heard many sponsors that have been so taken back because what their sponsee, no, you're not responsible. But you be there. You can be there. As I read this, and I know I'm closing in on the time, and I do read it often, but I live it. I try to live it every day. You know, between the words, much is said. Much is said. So as I end this, I see for myself as I see for another. I see my ego, and I see my compassion and my empathy. It all comes together here. And know that. And that word, burn the idea. You know, I always think of the cattle and the horses when they brand them, and they brand them with a certain brand. See, I know what my brand is. My brand is God himself. And I do trust God. And I clean the house on a daily basis. And thank you. With that, I do pass.
Thank you very much, Paula D. So we're on page 97 in the good book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We started reading the second paragraph, which begins, "We seldom allow an alcoholic." We've read five paragraphs. We're commenting on all five, ending with that he trusts in God and clean house. Who'd like to comment on what was read today? Mary H. Mary H.
Deb W.
Deb W.
Carly M.
I'm sorry, is that Carly M?
Allie.
Allie M. Thank you, Allie.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB. Anyone else? Okay, let's go with Mary H., Deb W., Allie M., and Sherry KB. Mary H., please go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is Mary H., recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Love this part. So funny to say that every time. But job or no job, wife, husband or no husband, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. And in the margins I have, my guide does not equal God. And this was so profound for me when I went through the steps with a person that had studied the big book through OA, and she told me that the main purpose is for me to be dependent upon God. And no, long story short, that she was not my God, and that she was, once she had taught me what I needed to know, that we were peers. You know, we were, once I became recovered, we were equals. We were both in the same boat together. And I just, for me, that was really important. I was really worried that I had to be tethered to this, quote, sponsor for the rest of my life. And, you know, there's only one person I'm tethered to, and that's my husband, and that's a job in itself. And I didn't want to take on a sponsor as well. I say that kind of kiddingly, but not really. And then just to learn that, no, that's not what it's about, that I need my fellows, I need my spiritual mentors. But, you know, right here it's saying no matter what is going on in my life, well, that's kind of a different aspect, that my dependence upon God is the most important. And I'll just say a quick little experience I had with that really brought it home was, I had just gone through the steps and was newly recovered, and I had a huge family reunion to go to in Virginia, and I was very nervous. I didn't have the confidence that I would stay abstinent through this, you know, 100 people and God knows how much food and family drama. And it was way out in the boonies in Virginia, and we had no cell service, and I wasn't going to leave for a meeting, so I was pretty much just dependent upon my God. And I hadn't really developed that yet. And that experience was just amazing. After I went through it, I was abstinent, and I was like, God was very close to me the whole time. I was praying and taking quiet time, and it just taught me that, yeah, no matter what's going on in my life, nothing needs to change on the outside, that I can do this in any situation. And what a relief that is, because I can't change my life.
Gentle reminder.
There's things in my life. Oh, I actually filled my 3 minutes. Okay, good. I think that's a good place to stop, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mary H. Deb W., you'll be followed by Allie. Thank you. Deb W., star 1 to unmute, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks, Deb.
Okay. Good morning. This is Deb W., Oklahoma, recovered compulsive eater. This is also, I think the whole book is my favorite pieces, but this is one of the, on page 98, when first paragraph that says, the minute we put our work on service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. And then, of course, it goes into the job or no job. You know, I kind of think that some of this thought process by those of us that are still struggling may be because, I don't know, I hit the very bottom. And I had the incessant monkey on my back craving that I woke up with and that I went to bed with, and my life was miserable. And I think by that having that motivation, you know, made me hunt for help. I mean, hunt for help. And the only help that I have found that has worked has been in this program. And so, you know, when I got in relapse, and I was out there and went through that period of I can do this on my own, and maybe this 2 or 3 huge candy bars a day isn't so bad, but, you know, the minute I ingested them, I felt like crap. When I went through that whole period and was just beaten down, I remembered that I didn't want to be here. I can't be here. I can't go on like this forever. That motivation keeps me hunting and trying to stay in recovery because, you know, for whatever reason, this is where I am. I'm either in the drug or I'm in recovery, and it is out there. So I think that, and one of the things my sponsors have told me always is that I need to learn. Depend on God, or rely on God, depend on God. God is my default. And if I don't find a way to access this higher power, then I will not get well. I can't get well on another person's recovery. I can't get well on, you know, self-help books. I can't get well on, you know, the food, eating the binge food. So I had to find God and whatever it was that was blocking my communication with God. And once that whatever that click, the key in the door that clicks, whatever that was, got me turned around and back on the path.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. Bye. That's it.
Good. Thank you so much, Deb W. Allie, is it M or N as in Nancy?
It's M as in Mary.
Great. You'll be followed by Sherry KB. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. This is Allie M, recovering compulsive overeater in Bellingham, Washington. Just looking at my book on page 98, and this is a popular section because it's so true where it says, you know, little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. I'll skip down. It says, yet we do go to great extremes to provide each other with these very things when such action is warranted. This may seem inconsistent, but we think it is not. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. I really like this because, you know, it goes back to that old saying I heard growing up that, you know, you give a man a fish and he can eat for a day. You teach a man to fish and he can eat for a lifetime. That's, you know, that would be my job as a sponsor. And it's, you know, the matter of when and how to give that, you know, it's talking about us, you know, relying on our higher power rather than on each other. And that tells me how to decide when and how to give. I know that there are human opinions running to extremes about, you know, if I consult somebody and say, hey, you know, what's appropriate to help this other person, you know, really, my God is the final answer with, you know, to help me decide how I can help somebody without, you know, stepping in and taking direction rather than, or giving directions rather than letting them seek. But I also wanted to compare this to my own experience in being sponsored. I did the same thing, you know, clamoring. I cried for help and please help me, please help me. And I had quite a few sponsors in the beginning. So it says, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. I was really struggling and I felt like I really wanted help. I really wanted to work this program and I wasn't getting it from anyone. So I kept looking for someone else to try to help me. And I had someone say to me that, oh, it doesn't matter who you give your fifth step to, you know, your sponsor could be a stump and you're still, you know, the point is that you've done this inventory, you share it and this is your growth. And I just went, oh my God, does it really matter? Well, I think that we have to be careful here because we can get well regardless of anyone, you know, around us. But that does mean that I still need a set side, you know. I think if I'm alone under a rock and I don't know how to do this work and continue doing this work, then I might not get well. So there is
gentle reminder.
Some need. And I really appreciate that we're studying this after we've learned how to rely on God through this whole book. Thank you so much, iPad.
Thank you, Allie M. Sherry KB, please go ahead.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line. You know, this there's such great things here and such a short amount of time to talk about everything. So I'm just going to jump right in and say the minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. All throughout this book, every nook and cranny in this book is always talking about your full reliance needs to be on a power greater than yourself. I was taught that, and also through just listening so much on the line, listening to people's shares on the Sunday Special Edition, I learned so much, not just from my step guides, but from a lot of people. And so I'm so grateful for that what I learned, I had a couple of incidents happen with two different sponsees where they had, I have a set way how I do it. We talk 3 days a week. We talk for 30 minutes at a time. We unpack the paragraphs. We discuss them. That's roughly what we do. And a couple of times on two different occasions, I got calls from sponsees that were crying the minute I picked up the phone. And I wanted so bad to help them. I wanted to be the one to save them. But you know what? That's not my job. And so I said, you know, I really want to support you because your full reliance needs to be on a higher power. So the best gift I can give you is get you back in this book And if you want to talk about this at another time, please call me back. But right now, my job is to get you in this book. And, I mean, I felt like it was really hard for me to do that. And, you know, what amazed me is watching the transformation once we started reading, that they got connected with their higher power and not with me. And they, and I still said, if you want to talk, call me back, you know, another time. But right now, we're in this book. And, you know, they said, you know what, I feel better. That's okay. Thanks anyhow, Sherry. And that happened twice to me with two different people. So that just shows me the power of this book. It shows me that my job is to help them get unblocked so they can connect with a higher power and rely on them. They can rely on me for support and the fellowship and the phone line, but their true reliance needs to be on higher power, because if this phone meeting wasn't here, if the meetings weren't there, what would we do? We would have to rely on our higher power, and that's what we need. And for me, I know that I need to rely on my higher power and get support from my fellows, and that the only condition is to trust God and clean house. And for me, it doesn't mean trust God, clean house. Thank you very much. I can go now. I'm cured. It's no, trust God, clean house, and help others. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. So, again, we're on page 97, the second paragraph. We're reading five paragraphs. We're starting with, we seldom allow an alcoholic, and finishing up with, that he trusts in God and clean house. Who would like to comment on what was read?
Jeanette G.
Jeanette G. Anybody else?
Brittany M.
Brittany M. And if there's no one else, anybody else? I think I'll take a turn, and that just may finish us up today. So Jeanette G, followed by Brittany M. Please go ahead, Jeanette.
Hi, I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in California. My name is Jeanette. Thank you for being of service. And I love that part of the book as well. When I came into program, you know, the trust God and clean house. I trusted a religious God that, you know, certain religious beliefs, but really it was always about trust Jeanette and take care of everybody, not about cleaning house. And so, you know, working the steps has taught me to rely on a power greater than me. And really what resonated with me today that I wrote in the margin also was to trust God and clean house daily. And it reminded me that I now am at the age where all three of my children are adults, no more teens and little ones, and they're all, you know, adulting and doing their lives. And I have to, in order to stay out of the food, trust God and clean house, and trust God that they have a power greater than mom, that I just get to surrender and trust God. And it's a different level that I hit in the last few years, knowing that I'm not G-O-D, I am Jeanette, and really trusting God in all affairs, in all my affairs. And it's been a shift, because when I forget that God is, that everyone has their individual higher power, and that even if I birthed human beings, that I am not their God, when I forget to trust in that God, yeah, I want to pick up food. I want to use. I want to, you know, figure out a way to control them. And so today I can sit down and write a letter to my God, like, God, I trust that you've got this handle, that handle, and I get to clean my house. Like, oh, if I resent the way that my children, they aren't my children, my adult relatives that I gave birth to, are adulting, I can do an inventory and see what's my part. I get to clean house of why is that bothering me, and go back to my 6 and 7 and then change my behavior. And so I just love that this book, you know, teaches me how to put the food down and then also put the control down of all kinds of substances and people, and just rely on a power greater than me, and that is my higher power that I choose to call God. So thanks for letting me share and for being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jeanette G. Brittany M., please go ahead. star one to unmute, please, Brittany. Brittany M?
Can you hear me? I'm sorry about that.
We gotcha.
Okay, excellent.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. Brittany, recovered compulsive overeater out of Spokane, Washington. And it's really interesting what struck me this morning. And talking about charity and, kind of the divine inspiration of when and where to do it, as well as trusting God and cleaning house. And so I have financial amends that I've been making, and I have some money where I'm able to make some of these amends, and I'm not able to make a face-to-face amends on these because the stores are no longer in business. And so, you know, my idea was to provide it to a cemetery, so to help somebody with a funeral. And it's really interesting. So I found out, you know, the address to send the money to, and I haven't sent the check yet. And then it was a most interesting thing last night, get onto to social media, and I see that this friend, this guy, is now quadriplegic, and this just recently happened, and my heart just like hit the floor, and here's an opportunity. They need a lot of money, and so it's just like, wow, what a message and what a blessing. Like, God is so, like, I'm amazed, I'm in awe. And here's someone, here's the living that I'm able to help out today and heal my wrongs. And the other thing is that just working with others is such a privilege and such a pleasure. And the thing that I get to remind myself is that if it's not their time, there's nothing I can say that will be right. And if it is their time, there's nothing I can say that will be wrong. And then also just the humility of sponsoring, I gain so much from the gals that I work with. It's unreal. Talk about God shots. It's just like, again, it's a pleasure and a privilege. So I'm really grateful. And I promise that this way of life is better than I have ever imagined. And I'm so grateful. And, you know, it's done to us. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brittany. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And I want to just humbly admit that self-reliance failed me, and yet at times, you know, I want to lean back on it. I want to lean back on it for myself and for sponsors that I'm working with. My purpose is to fit myself for maximum service to God and others, but it's God first. So my service to God, if I'm working with a sponsee, if I'm taking a 10-step call, is to invite God in, to set aside everything I think I know, and to be open to a new experience. And again, I want to humbly admit I don't always do that. I need to remember to do this. I need this seared into my consciousness, that my only solution is God, and the only solution I have to offer others is God. And how can I find God? How can I connect God? How can I apply God? How can I become God with skin on, a vessel God can move through to help another, is by practicing these steps every single day. There are often times where a new sponsee comes in and needs a lot of emotional support, wants a lot of emotional support. And I can relate. I've been there. But you know what? That's not my job as a sponsor. It is really wonderful. I appreciate so many things I've heard today on the share, that if I begin to just focus on what is your emotional need today and trying to help, and I do recall in the beginning doing that, trying to unpack what was happening in that person's lives instead of unpack what's happening in this book that is the solution, that, I'm not of help to them. So redirecting them to this book and getting them to begin to build a community, because I do need a community. I do need a community of people I can reach out to that can also sort of channel God as we invite God in to whatever 10-step I'm revealing, even if they're just listening. And that is so incredibly helpful, too. So I just really want to read this again because we want to do it. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking, eating, so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he or she can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that we trust in God and clean house. And with that, I pass. And so I just want to thank everybody who shared today. And we're going to transition the meeting from reading the big book on page 164 to the Serenity Prayer. And I'd like to ask you to hang on because after that, we're going to get newcomer phone numbers and numbers from available sponsors and any announcements. So I'm going to ask Sherry KB, if you would please read A Vision for You.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.